Another good morning to each and every one of you. And welcome to the church in Eindhoven, and welcome to this special series on joy. I was asked to speak this morning on Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. So if you would, please turn with me to Psalms, and let us read together Psalms 15 and Psalm 16. And it starts like this: Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Question mark. Who may dwell in your holy hill? Question mark. The answer: he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change, he who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Psalm 16, verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have set to the Lord. You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And now verse 11, which will be the topic for our thoughts this morning. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Two beautiful psalms that are so connected to one another. So when we look at Psalms chapter 15 and 16 together, what do we see? It depicts the true Israelite as rejoicing in God as his highest good. And then placing allegiance to him even in the face of death and Hades. How beautiful. This morning in our Bible study, we talked about the perfect shepherd. And again, in Psalms 15 and Psalm 16, we read about that perfect shepherd. We read about Psalms 15. He says in verse 1 and 2 again, who is the one that dwells with God? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speak the truth in his heart. How beautiful that is. He says in chapter 16, verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." That's it. That's all. That is really what true life is all about. True life is all about putting on your glasses and looking at God. And then all things become quiet, even in the face of death and Hades. It says in verse 2, "O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you." Nothing apart from God. That's faith. That's commitment. That's putting on the glasses of faith and looking at God. It says in verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices." The perfect shepherd, the perfect direction, true righteousness and true holiness. Because again, what are we truly made for? What are we made for? In one line of thought, we can say we are made to love God and to love our fellow men. But in another way, we can say we are made to work righteousness and holiness, defined by God Himself. That is what the good life is all about. And therefore, the writer says, "My heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." I'm reminded of the words of Andre. Andre is one of the members in the church in Haarlem. I was visiting with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Gert-Jan," he says, "the doctors gave up. There's nothing that they can do for me." And he says, "I'm ready to go. They don't have to do anything for me. I can go. I'm safe. I'm good. His grace, His mercy, it's okay." Isn't that beautiful? That even in the face of death, you can say, "It's okay. Because I know," with emphasis on "I know," "my body will be resurrected. Mortality will put on immortality, and I will be with God in eternity." That's the beauty. So let's talk about verse 11. Again, it reads, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Number one, thou wilt show me the path of life. In light of our Bible study this morning, many people will tell us what the path of life is all about. The newspaper tells us. Our parents might have told us. Our churches might have told us. It is only God that can show you the true path of life. Why is that? God is our maker. So we read in the book of Genesis, "Let us make man in our image." God knows exactly what we need. God knows exactly what can make us really happy. God knows us what can make us satisfied, even in this world of trial, temptations, and struggles. God knows. Why? He is our maker. What happens if your computer is broken? Do you go to the butcher and say, "Hey, butcher, can you fix my computer?" You go to the ICT man, right? You know about those things. You go to the ultimate one, the one who made the computer. He knows exactly what the computer is all about. So when we talk about life, it's very simple. We need to go to God. That's where everything is found. And He will, with the emphasis on He will, show you the path of true life. When you allow Him to be the shepherd of your life, He gives you direction, and He gives you the perfect direction and the perfect protection. That is what God is all about. The word life that is used here is a word that comes from fresh. Something that is fresh. Plants, waters. It's a word that is connected to strong. So it's fresh. It's lively. It's strong. It has all the components of what you need. And yes, that leads us directly into heaven itself. That leads us to God. So it says in Psalms 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God shows us His word, redemption, freedom. God brings His word to us and He says, read it, meditate upon it, digest it, digest it again, meditate upon it again, and I will show you the wonders of what life can really be all about. So again, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. What happens if tomorrow morning at your work you tell the people, I find some gold yesterday? Will everybody just continue what they are doing? Likely not. Everybody will say, hey, what? Tell me about it. Where did you find it? Because that's good stuff. I want some of that too. I want to share in that. The Bible says, the word of God is better than gold. Because what does gold do? It might buy you a beautiful Rolex. It might give you a beautiful car. It might give you a beautiful house. But does that satisfy the soul? No way. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than fine gold. It's not just gold, more than fine gold. 48 karat, is that how we call it? God loves us so much. Puppy, you said it this morning. He will show us the path of life. And sometimes He says, no entrance. This is not good for you. God loves us so much that He is willing to say no. God loves us so much that He wants us to find that path of life. Where do we find it? Again, not in organized religion. We find it in God Himself and in Him alone. That is why the Bible says we love God above everything else. We love God above everything else. The book of Proverbs says in chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Isn't that beautiful? The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Psalms chapter 1, another beauty that says it in this way. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Then look at verse 3. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The just are like a tree planted on the rivers of water, and it brings forth its fruit in its season. How beautiful is that? What does this world need? This world needs more people that look and look more like Jesus. This people is in need, in dire need of people that are intimately connected with God. Because then you will have access to the paths of life. Then you will have access to what is really important. Then you will have access to the source of love. And what does this world need? It needs love. This is what this world is in need of. This is what our lives are in need of. We talked this morning about the struggles that can sometimes be a part of our lives. So many people that are lost. So many people that are wondering. So many people that are hurting. So many people that are looking for somebody to listen. So many people that are looking for somebody that is willing to understand them. It's all about love. It's all about the true path of life. So Psalms chapter 16 verse 11 helps us to understand if we are connected to God in that intimate way, full intimacy and full obedience, he will show us the path of life. And again, it says he will. That's the guarantee. That's the promise that God makes. In the second place, this verse speaks about in thy presence is fullness of joy. Brothers and sisters, do we like to be joyful? We all do. But we wake up and our minds start to think. And our minds start to think about the challenges of life, and our spirit dwindles a little bit. Then we think about what happened 20 years ago when we were young, and our spirit dwindles. Then we think about what somebody did to us that hurt us to the deepest of our souls, and we go down a little bit more. God wants to go the other way. God wants to bring us to a place of utter joy. Is it possible? God says it is possible. God says it is. I hear too many people, even Christians, saying, yeah, okay, well, it's all beautiful, but that's impossible. I would like to say sometimes we need to change our vocabulary. Never say this is impossible. Because in reality, what you're actually doing is saying, God, what you say is not true. We should say it might be a challenge, but if God is with us, then we can do it. It might be difficult, yes. It might be a challenge. It might be a road that is paved with some tears and trials. But if God says it is possible, it is possible. One of the first lies of Satan was to put in that word not. And please, I say that with respect. Too many Christians are using that word not. Yeah, that is what it says, but you know, this is life. This is what it says, but you know, look at my past. This is what it says, but look at my present. Brothers and sisters, please take that word not out of it and replace it with the word but God. We know the story of the Red Crossing, right? Or the Red Sea crossing. The people feared when they saw the water. Moses said, just stand still. There's no worry. There's nothing going on. He will be your salvation. And what happened? The water parted. They walked through and they got to the other side. Look at David. Goliath. If you turn it into centimeters, he was about 3 meters tall. David was a shepherd boy. How old was he? We don't know exactly. But he might have been 150, 160. He had no armor on. He said, I don't, it's too heavy, it doesn't work. Goliath had all his armor on. It weighed altogether about 60 kilo. But God, one little stone, and he was done and over with. Brothers and sisters, that is our story. We fight battles, yes. We fight big battles, yes. We fight battles that are impossible to conquer, yes. But God is with us. God says, I will be with you wherever you go. And so God says, in my presence, the closer and closer you move towards me, there is presence and fullness of joy. But brothers and sisters, that means something. That means we need to cultivate our faith. We need to cultivate our belief. We need to cultivate not only Bible study. We have too many people probably that know exactly what the Bible say, who knows at least a lot about the Bible. But is that it? That is important, but not enough. Intimate relationship with God. That is what counts. That is the key. And so, as they sometimes say, it is not what you know, but it's who you know. And that counts, brothers and sisters. It is not what you know. While what you know is really important, but it's who you know. That is the important question that we need to ask this morning. There was a man who had a barbecue. 2 months. He arranged everything. The chairs, the tent, everything that he could think about was prepared. But guess what? The night before, all of a sudden he realized, I forgot to order my meat. I forgot it. Simply, I forgot to order the meat. What does he do? He goes to the butcher a few streets down from him. And he says, butcher, we've been friends ever since we were small. We were in school together. I know you. Can you please help me? And the butcher said, what? He says, well, I got a barbecue tomorrow. I need meat. I forgot to order it. I got 100 people coming. The butcher and the man, they shared an intimate relationship with one another. They knew one another since they were in little school. They had seen one another in high school. He knew that he was an upright man. He knew his credentials. The butcher told him, "You know what, Gary? Tomorrow morning, everything is ready for you, 8 o'clock. How does he walk away?
Happy.
Happy, right? Why?
Because he knew he already had everything.
But most of all, he knew his credentials. Now, guess what? The same man, same story, same thing, forgets his meat. He goes to his butcher, two streets down. But the sign says, "I'm on holidays. I'm enjoying the good Greek culture." Uh-oh. He goes to another butcher on the other side of town. He doesn't know him. He's heard some stories about him that were not always as good. He goes to that butcher and he says, "Butcher, this is my dilemma, this is my problem. Can you help me?" "Oh yes, I can help you. I will have it ready tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. How does he walk away? Uh-oh, I hope. What is the difference in this story? The story is about knowing. Brothers and sisters, if you know your God, the way that he can be known, you'll have a lot of joy. You'll have a lot of peace. You have a lot of happiness. You have a lot of laughter. Why? Because God says, in my presence, if you're close to me, there is fullness of joy. And brothers and sisters, I say that with respect, but today, we're living in a society that loves knowledge, but sometimes even in the church. And again, knowledge is very good. Knowledge is essential. The prophet Hosea had to tell Israel, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Knowledge is important, but never at the expense of knowing God. That is the key. That is what religion is all about. Not only about the right doctrine, not only about the right, whatever it may be, the right interpretation of revelation, the right interpretation of whatever it may be, very important, very crucial, but never at the expense of knowing him intimately. Because when you know him intimately, what does the Bible say? "Brother Paul, I never give you anything that you cannot bury. Carry. Brother Puppy, all spiritual blessings are yours in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anton, if you got a problem and you don't know what to do, just pray and I give you knowledge. I give you wisdom." Anne-Marie, if there is something that you're worried about, don't be anxious. Just bring it to me in prayer. And I will give you peace in your heart while you go through your trial, because you know God is bringing you through. That's knowledge. That's faith. That is Bible faith. That is Christianity. And again, I say that with respect, but we might live in an age where we are too much looking for knowledge and not looking for intimacy with our Creator. Intimacy with our Creator, that is what it will do. So, in the last place, he says, "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, number one, when we talk about verse 11 of Psalm 16, the first application, of course, goes to Christ. Because he was not held by death and by Hades. He was raised out of the grave, and he was raised to the right hand of the Father. But brothers and sisters, let me just say that if Christ is our high priest, we are sitting with him in heavenly places. That is what the book of Ephesians tells us. We are sitting with him in heavenly places. Do you feel your chair? You might say, oh, I've been sitting here for 45 minutes now, and I'm getting a little bit nervous because my back or this or that. Do you realize that you're actually sitting in two places at this very moment? You're not only sitting here, but spiritually, you're sitting in heavenly places. Wow. Sitting in heavenly places. And so, Psalms 16, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That is the key. And his pleasures are inexhaustible. This morning we looked at Psalms 23, verse 6. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's faith. That is commitment. That is relationship. That is God. And a man or a woman living in a broken world. Because we live in a broken world. We live in a world in which there is pain, in which there is hurt. And we have people here among us that we do not even understand what they are going through. When you are taken from your country and you know your house is in rubbles, I cannot even understand that feeling. I cannot understand what you are going through. But God can, and God will. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. It says in Psalms chapter 36, verse 7, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we see the light. Loving kindness is with God forever. And the ones who are Christians shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. Brothers and sisters, please take the word not out of your vocabulary. Please start to say, God can, God promised, and God cannot lie. This is God's story. So let us close with a word from the book of Colossians. Brother Emmanuel, you gave us a great reading from that chapter. And when you look at Colossians chapter 1, it says in verse 26, the mystery which was hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in us. Can you imagine? Paul, we don't deserve it. You made it very well known in the Lord's Supper. We do not deserve it, but it's God's gift to us. Christ within you, the hope of glory, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, again we say, How beautiful. Christ within us. And if Christ is within us, even when death comes around, we can be buried with that little fork. And people say, what is that? The best is yet to come. So God gives us the best in this life. He gives us the best in the life hereafter. In His presence is fullness of joy. But brothers and sisters, it only happens when you put on your glasses of faith, when you cultivate your faith, when you look up to God. That is where the treasures are, looking up by faith. And that is why Paul said, we don't live by sight, we live by faith. That is why the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, heroes, those ones that were in all kinds of difficult situations, but they looked up to God. And it says, by faith, Moses, by faith, Noah, by faith, Sarah, by faith. That is how it works. Because if we look at this life, our spirits go down. When we look up, our spirits go up. Amen.